share with our listeners. Would like to share with them the new hires we have for next year in regard to teachers. Would like to keep everybody apprised of our current classified openings. Would like to talk a little bit about the state budget crisis that we currently find ourselves in. And I would also like to talk about the closure of Cold Bay School, which, as you know, happened last night. So I think I'll start with the budget. The state of Alaska is mired in a huge budget deficit right now. The state budget was budgeted on oil being $108 a barrel. This morning, I think it was 50 or 51. So there's a multi-billion dollar budget deficit. Unfortunately, the state legislature thinks it's okay to balance that budget on the backs of our children. So we are looking at monumental cuts. The legislature is meeting as we speak. We don't know what the final numbers are going to be. Best case, $300,000. Worst case, upwards of $450,000.
So the House cut 300, the Senate cut 450. Is that what my guess is?
Well,
and they got to reconcile the two.
They're going to reconcile, and we're hoping for somewhere in the threes. We were promised $197,000 for one-time funding. It appears that that's absolutely off the table. Certainly, things happen that we can't predict, but I think there's little to no chance that we'll ever see that. Given that situation, we are tightening our belts as much as we possibly can. I attended a legislative fly-in with two board members, our board chair, Tiffany Jackson, along with Hillary Smith. We also brought a student delegate with us. And we met with a variety of senators, Mr. Dunleavy, Mr. Edgman, and they were very frank in the fact that we are going to lose a lot of money and everybody's tightening their belts, and they're not just picking on education, but certainly we are part of the pie. So given that, we've had to make some very tough decisions this year. We are tightening, as I say, every place we can. We're hoping the price of fuel continues to drop a bit, so it'll be, you know, $30,000 or $40,000 less to heat our schools next year than it is. As to date, the price of fuel has not dropped like we'd hoped it would, so we're still eagerly anticipating that.
Another whole discussion right there.
Where
are budgets going to have to come from?
Excuse me?
Where will budget cuts have to come from? Because everyone's feeling the crisis. Even here at Public Radio, we're looking at between 23 and 60% cuts, which are obviously a bit more drastic and maybe understandably necessary. Education, I think, should almost always be off the table.
I would agree.
But here you guys are. Where will you guys need? And so we're looking at a $3.5 billion deficit for the state budget right now.
Correct.
Huge, huge numbers. Billion with a B. I don't even understand.
How many zeros in a billion? I don't know if that's my math teacher, but anyway.
Yeah, lots of zeros, right? But for you guys, that translates, as you were saying, to about $450,000.
Worst case.
Worst case in a deficit. Where are you guys going to come up with that? Looking underneath rocks? What's the plan?
Rocks are a good idea. We are obviously we're going to reduce some through attrition, some staff who have resigned and taken different jobs that we will not fill.
Okay.
We are trying to hold the current work population harmless, so we would like to try to avoid getting rid of people in current positions that want to continue with their positions. Not saying that that's not an option if things absolutely go south. Anyway, to make a long story short, we currently have a school in Cold Bay that had less than 10 children. And as you know, we don't receive any state or federal funding for any school with under 10 children. It's an option that we looked at, closing that school. It's been discussed for a variety of months. We've looked into a variety of options. Obviously, when we're recruiting teachers, we can't ask how many children do you have, but we were certainly hoping at the job fair that a teacher candidate would come by and volunteer the fact that they had five or six children and might want to move to a small community. That didn't happen. And the school board did unanimously last night, upon my recommendation, unanimously vote to close the Cold Bay School.
Yeah.
I say that with a very heavy heart.
There was tears at the meeting.
There were tears at the meeting. And those children in Cold Bay are equally as valuable as children in Sandpoint and King Cove and False Pass and Accutan. So it's a very emotional situation. I've been a part of school closings before in the past in other districts. And certainly the heart of any community is a school. So I understand the discontent in Cold Bay. It's real. We need to honor that, and we are going to leave the option open that should 10 students ever surface or arise, we'll reopen that school. Have my word on that.
And so you guys did look really wherever you could, but in such a short notice, to keep the Cold Bay School open would increase the deficit. You're already facing up to $400,000 and some change in the deficit. That would increase it more than $200,000 on
right.
top of that. That's now you're past half a million in deficit.
Right. $211,000 is what it costs to run the Cold Bay School. And as I say, we receive no funding for that because we're under 10 students. So, every option was exercised. And the part of my job that I don't like is having to make tough decisions like this. On a good day in my job, I get to deal with passionate, hardworking teachers, and I get to watch them teach and deal with our wonderful children. And I think we have the greatest kids on the planet, by the way, in this district. On a bad day, I deal with government bureaucracies, budgets, and No Child Left Behind, and difficult decisions such as one we had to make last night.
Yeah. No, and I know that for everyone involved, it was a tough one. And I appreciate what you said, that the pain the people in Cold Bay are feeling is real and should be honored. You know,
absolutely.
Even though the situation is what it is and really didn't leave you guys with any other choice, I would say, from my vantage point, you know, we love the people in Cold Bay. And
absolutely.
It is a heartbreaking thing to see. So right now, budget cuts here is coming from people who are leaving, so no scheduled layoffs, no closing of arts departments, which are usually the first thing cut every single time. Things along like those lines.
Right, yeah, like I say, I can't make a promise of any kind until we see the final numbers. But the intent from my office is to just use attrition to make those cuts. People who are moving at the end of the year, things like that. We have a variety of those folks. So
you shift people around a little bit within classified positions.
Yep.
Now, if I can ask you a question about that, with the budget being what it is. So for me, at the radio station, I'm making three budgets, one with 20% cuts, 40% cuts, 60% cuts. 20% cuts, I can stomach as a body a little bit better. 40%, it gets a little tighter. But with 60%, it kind of hits this tipping point where we are now in a big cut environment that will change things dramatically. So there's kind of like this point on a budget where you start, we can stomach that, and now we're at the point where it's getting austere. Is that... In your guys' cuts, is there a level where if we hit this number, it's not going to be pretty?
We're certainly not there yet. And
okay.
The borough has been extremely gracious in the past. I have no reason to anticipate they won't continue to be. They've always been a huge friend to the community, to the children in this district. And thank you to everybody on the assembly, Mayor Stanley Mack, for everything you do for education. We could absolutely not do what we do without you guys. So we're not at a tipping point yet, but we are at a point where we are tightening our belt to the point where it hurts.
Yeah. Well, good luck sailing those seas. I know that everyone's feeling it in this community right now, whether you're a fisherman, government funded,
right.
or a business who relies on all the above. Everyone's feeling the pinch right now. But on a brighter note, there are a bunch of awesome new hires that are coming in. We had a high turnover rate last year, I noticed. Some great teachers came in. But from our conversation, even though we're having another year of high turnover and losing some great teachers, you're very excited about the people coming.
I've never been more excited about a group of incoming educators as I am today. We spent copious amounts of time recruiting before the job fair, actually weeks in advance. Myself and Jade and Sherilyn and Dave, the district office, were poring over the ATP website, Alaska Teacher Placement. And we did over a dozen interviews prior to the job fair. We actually hired six quality candidates. We then proceeded to the job fair, accompanied by the majority of our school board, who, by the way, our school board is extremely supportive of the children's district, of the district office. They do a lot of hard work. It's sometimes a thankless job, as it was last night.
Yeah.
But they're very supportive. They make informed decisions. And so when you see those guys on the street, give them a pat on the back or a handshake because they're doing the best they can for your children. Let's start with some Sandpoint hires. We hired Curtis Jensen as a language arts teacher. He will be joined by his fiance. They like to hike. He likes to read. They want to be a part of the community. And we made spent special attention to make sure that we weren't hiring teachers that wanted to come to Sandpoint for a one-year fishing adventure. Yeah. People that want to plant their roots. I'm dedicated to this community. It's where my home is. It's where I plan to stay. Dedicated to the children, to the public, and I want teachers the same way. For sixth grade in Sandpoint, we hired Mr. Kyle Settles. So we'll have an entire wing that's female except for Kyle Settles. He brings his wife Amy along. Once again, outdoorsman, very excited about hiking, working with the kids. I've been getting phone calls from him two or three times a week. and we're sending him pictures, and so they're very excited. We hired Benjamin Eilers for math. And he is actually also a martial arts expert.
Wow.
And he is going to be offering a couple of martial arts classes for the public, one for elementary and one for high school. And he's extremely excited about that. That'll be free of charge. And in the interview, he made that very clear that he would like to do that. So he kind of brings an added skill set, Austin, where he has an added value outside the classroom. So we're excited about that as well. Jennifer Sargent is going to be our science teacher. She brings with her a couple of kids. She's extremely excited and passionate about science. We're also going to be starting an ANSEP program next year, which ties into science and math, where we're going to be pushing basically math very hard to 7th and 8th graders so they can start taking UAA classes as early as 8th grade for credit, so we can funnel them into engineering degrees. So we could talk about that at a later date, but
oh, great.
We're in the early stages
pushing of STEM.
Planning for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then last but not least, we have Katie Dahlquist, our social studies teacher. Now, this is a fascinating young woman. Never seen so much passion as I did when the board and I interviewed her. She's from Wasilla, and she's actually spent her summers as a longline commercial fisherman, so she's going to fit in famously here. So very enthusiastic, very passionate. She plans to stay for a number of years, so that's exciting.
Well, that sounds like a good group of people.
In regard to King Cove, we hired a new principal, Jason Martinez, who brings two middle school boys with him. They're both interested in basketball and a variety of things, and he's excited to hit the ground running and will actually come and spend about a week with Chris Bennett in King Cove. Chris Bennett, the current King Cove principal, will be transferring to Sandpoint, so we're excited about that move. And then Randall Newman, who all of you who listen to the radio know is the TJAX basketball coach, will also be taking over the duties in our shop class.
Really?
Yeah. So we're excited about that. Randall is a journeyman in the union and can do everything from welding to woodwork. So we're extremely excited about that.
Works well with the kids, too.
Works great with the kids.
Yeah.
And you've seen that, Austin.
Spent a lot of time with him on the road.
You were there on the road trip. Holds the kids to high standards, high moral values, and works them hard. I mean, if you've watched any of those practices, those boys walk off the court and they're just about to have heart attacks. Then last but not least, we hired a couple for Accutan, Wayne and Shiloh McCannis. They're also bringing two boys with them, and they are excited about being at that two-person site and doing great things for our kids.
Well, that sounds like a good group of hires, and man, again, high turnover, but sounds like a good fit.
I think we're going to have the best staff we've ever had in both of our big sites, and I'm extremely excited for that. Can I make a couple of comments, Austin, about some classified employees?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course. That was actually a topic that was brought up by our listeners. They want to hear about this.
Okay. Well, we have some classified positions that are currently open. We just closed the library position. We'll be interviewing for that next week. By the end of the day, Jade should have the preschool position advertised. As you know, Leah resigned, so wish her well in her new endeavors. And the kind of people that we're looking to hire would be similar to a handful of ladies that we have that currently work for us. I would like to mention Marta, Raynell Gardner, Marlene Dushkin, and Beverly Mack. Those four ladies have, I believe, over 120 years experience in our district, and that is absolutely remarkable. Marlene, I think, is 33 years at King Cove, certainly the best assistant I've ever worked for as a principal, worked with as a principal. I believe she she oftentimes ran the school when I was gone, so... So Marlene, hi out there. I hope you're listening. Raynell Gardner has just been an amazing fit in our school this year. She had been a paraprofessional in the special ed department for a number of years, and so she's been a great addition. Beverly Mack, anybody who has been to King Cove knows that if you walk down the high school wing, you'll hear polka music, and you will see an exceptionally clean school. So I miss Beverly, not particularly the polka music, but anyway. And then, of course, Marta, who is retiring. She's our Hungarian librarian, beloved by everyone. She'll be retiring at the end of the year. And, Marta, I'd like to thank you for your service to the children of this district as well as your service to the community. So be very hard to replace, but we will do the best that we can.
Yeah, she taught Cheryl as a young
girl. She did.
Yeah. And she taught my wife as a young girl, and you know, she's been here the whole time I've been here, obviously, been involved in our lives. She was on the board of directors for the radio station.
Wow.
So I've gotten to deal with her, or got to be with her on many avenues and interact with her. And, you know, she is someone that you won't replace in the true sense. She is irreplaceable. Someone will come in and do the job, but it won't be Marta. And it is, as what Tiffany said, an end of an era.
I would agree.
And just what amazing service to the community.
Absolutely. And anyway, we'll do the best we can to replace her with an equal employee, but it'll be difficult.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure you'll find someone great. Have you hired anyone for that position yet?
No. It is closed, and okay. We have gone over applications, and we'll be interviewing early in the week.
There's lots of interest in that job.
17 applications, I believe.
Wow. Yeah.
Great position.
So that one's closed. You'll be hiring soon, so that'll be an exciting announcement to know who's going to come into this position.
Yep.
And then you're putting out there a preschool position. Is that a full-time, full-benefits type position as
no,
well?
No, that is 25 hours a week, I believe.
Okay. Very good. So there are a number of classified positions still available, and aid positions and things along those lines, like you'll be shifting around.
And we will quite possibly have a couple of aid positions open. That'll be probably closer to the 1st of May. Those will be posted as well. So we'll just post those the normal places that we normally do. But yeah.
Perfect. Well, it sounds like a good turnover, and, you know, it's never easy, but it's exciting that it's there. I understand, to shift gears now, that with all this coming, there is some new curriculum that you're bringing in, specifically with the language arts program.
Yes. The new language arts curriculum that we implemented this year is called the Wonders Program. It is a very rigorous curriculum. Okay. It requires a lot of teacher-student interaction. We've spent a lot of money in the district to get teachers properly trained. Hillary Seifert, Lynette Mack, Ingrid Cumberledge all attended an in-service last summer in Anchorage to kind of become trainers of trainers. We just sent Emily Coomers. Did I pronounce that right?
I know you got the Emily right.
I got the Emily right, so sorry, Emily. To become a trainer of trainers as well, she went on a grant-funded trip to Denver, Colorado. Cost the district nothing. And so I'm happy to say that we're certainly at the top of the state in implementing this new curriculum.
Yeah. And it's Kerms, actually, by the way.
Kerms.
Yep.
Okay, you were told
that. I know
that.
Yep.
Okay.
No, I just know that. It came to my mind. It's Kerms, Emily Kerms.
I'm good with first names.
And her name's spelled Amelie.
It is
like
spelled
my daughter.
Amelie.
I know. And right before we named our daughter Amelie, we met her, and she said, yeah, no one got my name right, so I go by Emily. And my wife and I looked at each other, and we're like, oh, okay.
I actually hired her 2 years ago at the job fair. I was riding an elevator down, and there was this young lady in a dark blue business suit, looked very prim and proper, and shook her hand. She had a very strong handshake, and started telling me about her teaching practice and where she had student taught. And by the time we hit the first floor, I was pretty convinced. So we interviewed her, and she's been a great fit here as well.
Yeah, she has been. I've heard nothing but great things onto that hire as well. Well, that's great that that is there. And so kind of like what you're talking about with math being spread across the spectrum, is that what the language arts program is doing? Is kind of like spreading it across all disciplines?
Correct.
So yeah. How does that incorporate into like mathematics? Does it incorporate into mathematics?
Well, that's the one. There is a little bit of math involved with that, not a lot. Actually, the new math curriculums actually are incorporated more in the other subjects than vice versa. So this incorporates social studies. It incorporates some history. So there is some cross-discipline involvement, but a little bit of math, not a lot. However, you know that with the high stakes testing now, the majority of the math problems are story problems, so it's paramount that our kids have a strong foundation in reading and writing, and mm-hmm. So we're putting a lot of emphasis on that. If your children are in elementary school, they will have a 2-hour language arts block, because that's how long it takes to get all this stuff in.
Wow.
And the research is very clear that children who get a strong foundation in reading, writing, and math at the elementary level continue to succeed the rest of their career. So, unfortunately, that research is also very clear that if children don't get it in elementary school, very difficult to catch up.
Yeah. So when will this program begin? Are you going to be pushing on preschool, or is it more like first grade?
No, it starts in kindergarten, and we started this year, so we will be resident experts next year. We will take a day and a half of the new service, new hire in service, to train the new teachers in this program. It does require a lot of upfront training. There's a lot of work for teachers, but it's very computer interactive. The kids are engaged. They're excited. But there's a lot that are asked of the kids, and they're asked to progress rapidly, and so far they have.
So good. How's the initial response? You said it's been a good response so far?
Great response so far. Great response. The kids love it. The teachers love it. Teachers were apprehensive at first just because – there's a lot of new things, and yeah. Anytime you ask anybody to learn a new paradigm, whether it be you in the radio business, me as a superintendent, or a teacher, or I suppose a physician, it's difficult when we have to change the way of doing things. But we have a very receptive group of teachers in this district, and they've really risen to the occasion.
Good. Forward thinking. That's great news.
Can I mention, Austin, just back to budget for just a second? I would encourage everybody, parents, community members, to go on our district website, go into our Facebook page. We have a Facebook campaign where we are trying to let the legislators know the dire straits that these cuts will put us in. There's power in numbers, so if you would please sign onto the website, go onto our Facebook page. I think we need everybody to be an advocate for our children. And unfortunately, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So make some noise, get on that Facebook page, and let's all be in support of our kids if we could.
Yeah, there's no way that you can actually overemphasize how important this is. Things do change when people talk to the legislators. I already called senators in advocacy for education myself. And this is with public broadcasting. We were facing 100% budget cuts by the Senate.
Wow.
Because of the advocacy of listeners and users of public media, we got 40% put back into a very hardline Senate. Still not a lot, but it shows you that came because people mentioned.
That's great.
People talk. So, you know, if you care about the education, which obviously everyone cares about education, make sure you do go and talk to either your representative, Lyman Hoffman or Edgemond, or find on the Facebook page the people who will be on the committees that will bring together the budgets and have the final say. Very, very, very important. Don't forget to mention public radio while you're at it.
Please do that.
All right. Well, I know we have a new playground.
Yeah,
coming into town here.
As you know, our playground is removed. It was actually
condemned, right?
Condemned, yeah, by our insurance company. And
that's pretty ridiculous.
It is what it is. Anyway, once again, the borough has always been a huge friend to education. Team at the borough had spoken with borough manager Rick, and they're still waiting on our final numbers. So we can have a budget meeting in regard to what we get from the state. So, but we do have the schematic of the playground. I showed it to you last night, Austin. It's going to be an absolutely fabulous place for our kids to spend some time.
If you want to see, if I may interject for a second, if you want to see this picture, go to KSDP Radio on Facebook. When you handed me the photo yesterday, I took a quick snapshot and put it up on Facebook. This is an amazing playground. I cannot wait to get my kids on it.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, and it's state of the art. We have used some grants to truncate the expense the best we could. And once again, the kids have basically had no place to go and play. So we'll be getting those final numbers to the borough along with our budget when the legislator finally makes up their mind what they're going to do. Just to reiterate what Austin said, please go on the Facebook page. Please call Dunleavy. Please call Edgman. Please call Hoffman. Those legislators, that will make a difference. And I think if we complain enough, they just might do the right thing. So
yeah, they are here to serve us. And we don't serve them. They serve us. And it's by understanding what their constituents want that they will make decisions.
That's a great point, and I think that's something that needs to be made more often than it is. Yeah. They're public officials elected by us, and they do work for us. And I think sometimes that's forgotten.
Absolutely.
But yeah, they're public servants.
Yep. Well, Mike, I appreciate you coming here. Again, we're on the air with Mike Seifert, the superintendent for the Aleutians Eastboro School District. Anything else that you'd like to add?
I think that's it. Just give one of these great kids in this district a hug today. And once again, the situation in Cold Bay was unfortunate, and I absolutely understand the discontent that the Cold Bay people feel today.
Yeah. Well, all right. Thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy man. We appreciate you coming in. Hopefully we'll have you again more often.
Thanks, Austin.
All right. So that was, again, Superintendent Mike Seifert here for the Aleutians Eastboro School District. We have this one recorded. It will be up on the web here in just a matter of maybe an hour, hour and a half. So if you missed it, want to hear the rest, or just heard about it, you can always go at apradio.org. Also, last night's school district meeting is already posted up there as well with a basic summary highlight of what occurred. So this stuff matters, people. Remember, this is our education. This is our future. So make sure you're informed, and thank you for tuning in to KSDP. We've got Laura Bell Bunding with Drop On By coming up next here on KSDP.